RS intervju.
Nocoj se v klubu Gronka obeta nov večer koncertnega cikla Defonija. Kot je zadnje čase v navadi, bo šlo ponovno za tako imenovani double bill, torej za dva koncerta. Uvodoma se obeta intriganten nov projekt saksofonista Igorja Lumberta, naslovljen Nevidna mesta, v katerem Igorja spremljajo Samuel Blazer na pozavni, pa Masa Kamaguči na kontrabasu, ter pa Peter Brun na bobnih. Drugi del večera bo pripadal sedaj že 15 let trajajočemu projektu čelista Daniela Levina, imenovanem Daniel Levin Quartet. V tej zasedbi je bilo slišati že kup izvrstnih glasbenikov, recimo Joe Morrisa ter Nate Vulija. Trenutno pa so Levinovi spremljevalci Matt Moran na vibrafonu, Matt Maneri na violi ter Torbjörn Cederberg na kontrabasu. Skratka, toliko za uvod. So, Daniel, it's rather exciting to have you here in Ljubljana. As this is your first time here, we could start with some basic coordinates of your musicianship. You play a cello, an instrument that, even though very present in the jazz and improvised scene for a long time now, is nevertheless something we are more used to hearing in classical chamber contexts. This is also where you come from, and one can still hear this in your many musical enterprises. So there is a story you already recounted elsewhere, but I think it is worth it to be heard again about your first serious in-depth meeting with improvised music.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to have a really, really wonderful training in the classical world, and I was just in love with playing all of that music all the time. And I had, during the regular school year, I had weekly lessons, and then I was in summer camps, and I was spending my summers, you know, deep in Brahms piano quartets or Schubert piano trios, Beethoven quartets, things like that. And so this has been going on, and I right before my first year in conservatory, I attended a festival of chamber music, and they also had a dance division. And we were busy rehearsing, and then one day the organizers decided to get the classical music folks and the dancers together and into one space, and they said, who would like to improvise? And I raised my hand. I had never done that before. I think I was 19. And I was just used to only playing the music that was printed in front of me. And then all of a sudden I had a ballerina in front of me. So I just started to copy what she was doing in a kind of a broad, general way. And I don't really remember a lot of it, but I remember the ending of it, where she was spinning very fast at the end, and I just went up high and truly way up high. And I had this sort of instinct that she was gonna hit the mat, she was gonna go down. And I just went with it. I slid down and hit the lowest note on the C string. And it was exactly synchronized. And it really got me thinking, because all of a sudden now I was having this powerful connection with the cello, which I always had, but it wasn't necessarily through looking at some music on the page. It was looking at something else, in this case, a dancer, and finding inspiration and seeking inside to figure out what choices I'm gonna make as far as the notes, not just the interpretation. So from there, a door was opened to me.
However, I do find it sort of odd or hard to understand that, considering you were playing the cello before that for at least a dozen years or more, I figure you probably had, you know, private, intimate improvisation sessions while you had enough of Beethoven or something.
You know, you'd think that, but it really didn't. I mean, I had, but the thing is, the idea, see, the connection is that the creative space and the improvised mindset is something that I feel like I always had, and, you know, access that in different ways, just not on the cello. Playing with Legos as a kid, building this and that, creating this and that, all these different types of ways of building and making things. I had some other musical explorations. I played saxophone also, and I did a little bit of improvisation with that. It just didn't really happen on the cello until that moment, actually.
But did you see at that time, or maybe now, interpretation in any significant ways similar to improvisation? I mean, is that a point of departure that is potential enough for you as a person, as a musician in on its own?
Well, it's a story. It's an important story, and it tells something. It's not the whole story, and it's something that I look back on and see that point as being an opening. My entire approach shifted to improvisation at that point, but I began to have more and more experiences leading me toward that. I mean, one thing that happened was once I started to study, really work on it, and study improvisation and study composition and really try to develop a voice, was I began to get a very, very much enhanced appreciation of people like Schubert, for example, that I've been playing. And I would come back to the melodies and then I would play and I would enjoy it more because I started to think about how the things were built. And so my interpretation of traditional music also was enhanced once I started improvising.
This may be a bit funny question, yeah. But what about your technique, your capacity to execute, for example, classical arrangements? Do you think it has in any way diminished from the time you were studying intensely?
Well, it hasn't. I haven't taken it really any further in terms of the specific techniques that you work on to get certain types of sounds and effects and nuances. I basically got to a place working with Paul Tobias at the Manus College of Music. He was a student of Gregor Piatigorsky, and he had a very, very a great pedigree in terms of his where he was coming from pedagogically, and he really showed me how to understand technical problems in the cello. And break them down, really whatever they were, to wipe away the mystique, the fear, the expectation, and just go with what really is. He was very involved with Jay Krishnamurti, the philosopher, and who has talked a lot about what is. And he would use this approach to analyze a problem on the cello and really take away all the excess stuff that was interfering with it. And so I spent 1 year with him, but in that time, I feel like I really gained some tools to help purify my sound and approach so that I could solve most technical problems. Once I sort of left the classical track, I used and I applied that to solve problems about what is the kind of music that I would like to make, what do I want to express, and how can I do it? That's how I use those tools.
I often encounter expressions of solving technical problems in musicianship, but for a civilian like me, this does sound rather enigmatic. So can you, for example, elaborate a bit further on a particular technical point that you yourself at this point in time still have to still find it hard to master?
Okay. Well, I mean, I can. I'll try to answer that question in a reasonable way. I mean, every day, really, I kind of start over. I start over every day with, every time I pick up the cello is with playing an open tone, open string, and I'm right there immediately already working on cleaning up my bow. Because to me, the bow is the source of the sound. You can have an amazing left hand doing all kinds of things, but if your bow isn't, the bow is the one that makes the voice, and so. I'm always looking for perfection, and I haven't gotten it yet, of basically a perfect sound with a perfect bow change that you can't hear. And it's almost like creating a circle rather than a down bow and an up bow. And this is something that I hold in front of myself every day when I'm playing. So that's the place, and then I take that, once I've cleaned up a very basic piece, then I add something a little more complicated, scales, this, that, so that essentially I'm going through and applying this kind of idea of having a perfect sound to everything. And so it's a really kind of general approach but I like it because if I tell myself, listen, I don't want to play anything on my instrument that isn't perfect, and I use that as a way to practice, I can be playing the most extreme kind of percussive sound that sounds electronic with an extended technique. I can be looking for the most gorgeous, pure, beautiful sound that you might use in a Bach suite. Whatever it is that I'm working on, it's about having that clarity and purity and precision.
So after, for example, the gig is over, do you reflect on it and, you know, worry, I mean, not worry, but do you sometimes think, okay, I did not execute this decently, even though quite probably no one noticed it other than you?
No, because I do all that stuff in the practice room, and that's one mindset, and I do that so that I don't have to think about it too much. I mean, I do that so that I have something, so I can really focus on more aesthetic concerns. I'm really not thinking technique when I'm playing.
Well, as for aesthetic concerns, you've got this quartet of yours running for about 15 years now, and it seems a very consistent band, actually, in both in terms of the sort of tensions that are very noticeable, as well as in terms of the lineup, meaning that you don't have no drummer, you had a trumpet that's now sort of supplemented by a viola. So can you maybe explain what are the foundations of this band as you see them?
Well, I had this idea that came to me in the early 90s that the idea of the quartet. The quartet, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, I was so immersed in that, and that was a very important thing for me, the feeling of being in the quartet, where there are the four different voices, and, you know, you go through these great composers like Beethoven, who understood how to make independent lines, but also how that they were connected and interdependent, and the level of nuance and interchange and dialogue and power and subtlety and all that stuff, so incredible. If you just play and you kind of live inside those quartets, which I was fortunate enough to do. When I started improvising, I wanted to take that kind of experience of being in a quartet, but personalize it and update it and make it have to do with creating music of my own. So I think that I used that model of a quartet as kind of a template, and it made sense for me to have a quartet. It made sense for it to feel, not necessarily instrumentation-wise, but in terms of the four people and the idea of the roles that people would have to kind of carry that over. So that's why it's a quartet. I'm not sure I can tell you why I didn't want to do the drums. I like playing with drums in other settings. I do a lot of work with drums in trio settings or in duo. I love playing with drums in duo or in larger groups. This is really about dialogue and harmony and melody. And of course you can play the drums in that way, but it's not the same.
One can notice a certain consistency in this band, as well as naturally some development. Yeah. And could you maybe talk about what do you see as the main ideas, and also what do you see as development in the context of this particular quartet?
The group, basically, the quartet is really a vehicle for me to explore certain kinds of spaces and certain kinds of writing. And I found that as over the years, I've kind of fallen into evolved to four different areas of writing. And, you know, we have some tunes in our book that we're bring with us this time that are from 2001 and some that were written a couple months ago. And I'm going through that whole catalog, and there's a consistency between those because of these types. And so one type is a sort of, I call it like a lyrical ostinato, and a sort of repeating bass, and there's a very usually some kind of very lyrical and maybe beautiful line that's played. It's very direct, very literal, very emotional and explicit. It's a song, and that's one type that keeps coming through, and that's been there since the beginning. Another one is, I call them launchers. It's sort of like a very aggressive head. It's very much like a jazz form, like a short head, very active bass, short, little, small bit amount of material and launch the group into collective group improvisation over a fast pulse. Felt like you were walking pulse. And then another one, the part of the identity is the line tune. And the line is where it's really conversational, and we have a little bit of material that that we all work with, and we kind of work with it in parallel, and it may evolve into these different strands, and then we're going to have a more conversational thing, more like we'll be working with like augmenting and all kinds of compositional ideas about how you're going to treat melodies and develop them. The last piece is call it static or scratchy, and it has to do with a very sense of a translation of a tactile friction kind of feeling with something that oscillates. And this has just been something that's been interesting to me for a while. I think about these those old hand crank mills where you put flour in it and you turn it and it scrapes and it has this. So there's this kind of timelessness about that. And I've been in those four spaces for a while. So those are sort of consistent themes that I've been through. Development-wise, I mean, part of the development has been for me to realize that those are just going to be part of what it is. Those are part of what's interesting to me as a person, as an artist. It's not the only thing that's interesting to me, but I realize that this is part of what the quartet serves to do for me, is to be able to explore those spaces. The other piece we do is we do some open improvised duos, usually on each set, so that people have a chance to just explore their own relationships and outside the context of the material. But really the development, it's hard for me to say how it's developed. I just, my concept about what we're doing has changed so that I can see it from a little bit of a higher altitude, different vantage point. And of course, we've had some personnel changes over the years. It's really exciting to be working with Matt Maneri in this context because of our history and just what can happen when you have the trumpet is great, and Nate Woolley was in the group for so long, and he did incredible stuff, and it was a special kind of sound. The trumpet, though, doesn't blend in the way that the viola does, so it's just a different thing. It's much less juxtaposed against the brass, juxtaposed against the string, whereas these strings become interwoven. So it can be a thicker kind of more different kind of texture, so possible.
I felt a bit wrong to actually use the term development, because it implies some sort of upwards progression.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I think about when my first record and what I knew at that time and my range, depth of experience and all this stuff, and you always work as an artist to improve and grow, and you think about it and reflect, and I'm gonna get better at this and that, and, you know, and that's all true, and at the same time, it's nice to go back and hear the first record and say, yeah, I like that too. It's a different time, and it's as long as what's being made is really true to the present and where you are, I think it can be vital and meaningful when you're really able to be with in the space where you are and really express from that.
Well, to go further in this direction, I was, as a listener, I was wondering, you as a musician probably have this urge to become better, to understand things in a deeper way, but do you see this as an obligation that, for example, the albums you make today or tomorrow are in some way better than the ones you made 10 years ago?
I don't think about it that way, because it's more like what I was getting at, where I don't what I want to do is I want to make a strong record when I make a record. And I think about it, like, it's strong not for me by its comparison to other ones. It's strong in how well does it kind of express itself. Like, how true is it to, you know, I've got these tunes, how convincingly do we pull them off? How fearless is the improvisation? How intimate is the improvisation? How courageous is it? How, you know, if I want to really be aggressive and, is it really aggressive? If it wants to be tender, if it wants to have tension, do we really wait? You know, like, so it's a really about maximizing the potential. I feel something successful if it sort of reaches its own potential for the terms and the context that's contemporary for it.
Tole je bil intervju z Danielom Levinom iz Daniel Levin kvarteta, ki ga boste lahko danes ujeli tudi v klubu Gromka ob 21. uri. Z Levinom se je pogovarjal Anže Zorman.
Ja. RS Interview.